Five, six, seven, eight. Trident gum is the chewiest gum. Give it to your friends and chew it with your teeth. Your teeth are bones that live outside. They hang from your lips like bats. Oh, outside bones, outside bones. Never forget your teeth, outside bones. The bones that you wash, and when you're a kid, they fall from your head. And to make things less weird, we say they got stolen by a demon that your parents know. Trident. In lieu of my usual audition piece, that was a jingle for gum I just made up.
TBTL!
Hi there, my name is Nick. I'm looking to talk to Andrew Walsh. I'm from the New York Times book department. We're going to have to pass on your memoir entitled Cat with a Hot Dog Story. Thank you.
Luke, it's Carbs. Where you been, buddy? We miss you. We're all going to be hanging out tonight in a Stouffer's French Bread Pizza. Hope to see you there. Bye.
The man or beast that I run from ain't been born, and his mama's already dead.
I know those words, but that makes no sense.
Hey, do you think you could be my funniness mentor?
I can definitely be your funniness mentor.
All right. Hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Thursday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
But that doesn't stop a foamer.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Coming to you from the offices of Walsh, Walsh, and Doormat in the Roosevelt neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. Or as I call it, the parking ticket district of the Northwest. That's fine, though. I am legally parked today and ready to roll with episode 3107 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And we have a story for you coming from our colleague and good friend, the one, the only, Christina Lopez. Kiki, also known in these parts as Kiki Lolo. She found herself in a situation that I've contemplated many times in my life. Luckily, has not happened to me yet. But she will explain what it's like to be stuck in an elevator for far too long. So we'll talk to her about that. Plus, if we have time, we'll get to that Hot Pockets story that we didn't get to on yesterday's edition of the show. The heiress to the Hot Pockets fortune is going to jail because of trying to help her kid cheat their way into University of Southern California. So we may get into that. And also, here's the thing I know we will get into. It's a Thursday, a.k.a. Blursday.
My birthday today.
And so we will read your Blursday messages. I saw some emails, some strong support for the Blursdays. Blursdays yesterday, Blursdays today, and Blursdays forever was the sentiment I got from some of those people. Speaking of people who've been here forever, he's the longest running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships, noted local Tompologist. He is Andrew
Scatman's World
Walsh, and he's joining me from right across this table. Now, I know calling you a local Tompologist is that's crossing the Ghostbuster streams of the shows that you and I make together. But you know what? I'm feeling dangerous on this Thursday edition of the show.
First of all, I'm glad you gave context for that because I'd already forgotten what Tompologist meant. What does that mean?
I didn't have
is that the
patience.
Plants one?
I did not have the patience to wait until next week's Macmillan Men to introduce you as noted Tompologist.
I have something here at the top of the show.
You got something to say?
I haven't clicked on this yet. I just opened up my TBTL email, andrew@tbtl.net. I'm seeing some emails, some late breaking Blursdays coming in. Wow, it's going to be a Blursday blowout today, by the way. Don't let me forget to add these new ones to the list. But okay. What I wanted to tell you is the email that just came in, it looks like a half hour ago, is purportedly from Facebook, and it says, You have been reported for copyright content. Now, I'm not personally on Facebook anymore, and that wouldn't have been associated with my TBTL address, but we do have a TBTL page. Could this be real?
Hmm.
Could this be real?
Trouble?
No.
Trouble over at the Tens Facebook page?
Let me see here.
Okay.
I'm examining this the same way I examined the TIAA CREF emails that I believed were phishing before.
Which, by the way, lest people think that Andrew's just making that whole thing up for radio theater, as I walked into your house today, sitting on your dining room table is paperwork from TIAA CREF. We'd like to welcome new sponsor, TIAA Craft, who's getting more mentions on the show this week.
Is that true?
Yeah, there's a mailer out there from them.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. I don't see mailers. They're, like, invisible to me.
I assume that you had to open it to get your, like, login information when you called them. Is that possible? You were in such a sort of fugue state the other day that you were just, like, you had to, because it looks like you were using it to call them.
No, that might have just been something that came in the mail recently. That might have just been Genevieve has some accounts.
Can
with
I
them,
go
probably.
Open it and just see what it's all about?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that would be good radio, it might be better than what I have here. I can't
Theo, bring in the paperwork.
I can't tell if this is phishing or not. The address makes me think it's phishing.
I'm
it's
a noted
from...
local expert on that at the Microsoft campus. So
oh, that's a good point. Yeah. I have the expert here. Sounded like I said expert.
Oh, man. Do you remember
your salads with the egg?
No. Do you remember? Oh, it's got a low center of gravity. No. Do you remember that part of the comics in the paper when you were a kid?
What?
This didn't make its way to Ohio.
What?
There was. You know what? This is great. I can Google this, or excuse me, I can Bing this.
Bing.
While we're egg cartoon newspaper. This is not going to work. When I was a kid, there was a section of the comics, I believe on Sunday, would sort of be a little standalone panel that was called like Etc. or something, and the whole comic, the whole cartoon was just like a drawing of an egg with wordplay involved, like excellent javelin thrower, and that is like an egg throwing a javelin. And I feel like there was some interactive component. Maybe it was the predecessor to like the New Yorker name the caption thing. It was just called, I forget the name of the listeners, particularly those.
This
like,
is just,
people know about this. Yeah. I did not imagine this, I don't think.
Just the, I don't know, I can't picture.
Although
the
I did
content,
just run into my whole family on a subway in Paris. Is this a dream?
Yeah.
I'm just continuing.
Wow, you're really
continuing to try to incept the TBTL listeners with the McMillan Men podcast. No, but I can't even, like, honestly, just Googling it doesn't even bring up. It's so general. Egg cartoon newspaper. But it
try
was,
typing 1980s.
So one of those egg council creeps got to you too, huh?
Oh, you got it all wrong. It's not like that.
Oh, you can hear my terrible edit in that. Listen to that terrible edit. Listen to this again.
So one of those egg council creeps got to you too, huh?
Oh, you got it all wrong. It's not like that.
What happens between you got it all wrong and it's not like that? That's why I never used that drop, probably.
19 egg comic newspaper. Because, remember, comic is a single panel, right? As opposed to...
Oh, that's right. You taught me that.
Yes, I taught you so much. God, I'm not getting anything, Andrew. And this is really bumming me out because I know that this was a real thing. And again, there was a sort of participation component of it where I think you were either trying to solve a puzzle. Maybe you were trying to guess at what the pun was. I remember there being like little empty circles beneath this weird egg comic where you would then write in, I think, like what your guess
at what
the wordplay
was.
Like it was part puzzle, part terrible egg-related wordplay.
You know what? All of my instinct says stop the show, drill down on this, no. Google around.
The listeners
I can find
will.
It. But no, this is good. Like, this will be content for days as people sleuth this out and get back to us with their egg-related.
With their excellent research. It's obvious. No, but that's the same one I already said. Excellent javelin throw.
Yeah,
like,
but that's all you got.
Excellent's all I got.
Yeah, yeah. Also, though, when I said egg and salad before, I wasn't making an Arrested Development joke. I remember, weirdly fondly, a food that I never ate, and that was the year or so we worked together at Cairo Radio, and every day you would get a salad with a warm egg on it. And the reason I think about that a lot is when I go across the street to Whole Foods and I make myself a salad at the salad bar, I will often get a hard-boiled egg, which I think is fine. It's cold. The salad is cold. It's all fine. But I think about that warm egg you used to have put on a cold salad, and I always think, that doesn't seem like a sensation that I would like.
I don't think it's a sensation you would like.
Yeah.
But it's a frisé thing. There's a long tradition of a French salad where there's like a poached egg on it, and as you're eating it, you cut the egg and a little bit of the yolk drips out, and it kind of joins, it marinades, or it becomes part of the whole salad eating experience. That's because, you know, that was back in my low-carbing days, and so I would go down to the Grand Central Bakery, mm-hmm. often during the news break. Mm-hmm. Terrible, terrible mm-hmm. lack of professionalism from old burbs.
I was the producer. I was super chill
sure
with it.
Sure, you were not nervous
no,
at all.
No, it was great. It was
I would,
fine.
Like, call in an order or whatever, run down there, and it'd be some cockamamie, like, salad, hold the croutons, add an egg, side of bacon kind mm-hmm. of thing in there. And then I would just sit there eating that salad while it was actually kind of delicious now. I also haven't eaten yet today. I'm super hungry.
Sorry. Yeah. I have to spit out this ice cube that accidentally went in my mouth. That was gross. That was so unprofessional.
Was that a part of your three ice cube tray? By the way, the other thing, just so everybody knows, again, how much Andrew walks the walk. When I was in the kitchen, there were the ice trays, ice cube trays on the counter.
Two of them, like, locked
counter.
And loaded, ready to there. They're already filled up. They just need to go in. I should have put one on before.
Did we miss
the show.
An opportunity on yesterday's show in not calling it Ice Andy?
It's kind of a...
is that just played out? Is it a little bit obvious?
I felt a little played out. Okay. Yeah, okay, cool. Honestly.
Ice Road Fucker?
Woo! What?
You know the show Ice Road Truckers?
Yes.
Well,
you're just going blue.
I don't know. I've tried. It rhymes with trucker.
What did I end up going with yesterday? I went with something we didn't say. Oh, I said, oh, no, it's not posted.
Uh-oh.
What did I do wrong?
Oh, let's mention to the listeners. I'm not
even joking. Why is yesterday's show not on the website?
I keep saying it's yesterday's show, but in fact, as we record this, it is still Wednesday. So Andrew, or Ice Andy, as I call him, is just now learning that the show that we recorded at 9 a.m. today has not yet made it to the internet. Oh, it has. It just didn't make it to that page.
Yeah.
It's a trapezius. I like.
That's what I went with. So it should be in the good news catcher. It's just not on tbtl.net. I probably did. I didn't hit publish. There's that one last step you got to do. Yeah. Everything looks good. Everything's fine.
It's that last mile problem that you're always running.
You hit save. Anyway, I don't know if our Facebook has a problem or not.
Okay. Did you get to the bottom if that's phishing? What is the email?
Well, here's what I want to... I'm so tempted to click on this link, which is how they get old people
don't
like me.
Don't click on the link.
But listen,
let
me tell you
link.
My beautiful story here. The email the subject line, you have been reported for copyright content. The email address this comes from, it says Facebook, but it says noreply@helpcenter.com. Helpcenter.com does not seem like a Facebook email address to me. That says, warning, do not click on this thing. But the actual link that they've included in the email says your page has been restricted from using certain features for violating Facebook terms. Your page will be blocked from adding new posts. This limit is temporary and expires after the verification process. Facebook complies with the notice and takedown procedures defined in Section 512C of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, etc. Thank you for spicing this up a little bit. Sure. I realize what I'm doing to our listeners here. It says, if you think the page was restricted in error, you can appeal the decision below. And the link they have seems like a Facebook link, and I'm hovering on it too, seeing where it directs. It goes to facebook.com/a bunch of numbers.
Bunch of numbers is your problem.
But if they have the domain facebook.com.
All right, click on it. Let's see what happens.
I don't want to. Can I do it on my work computer?
That's the only place I would do it.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it because you know what? We don't maintain that page anymore. Like what? It's going to block us from posting content that we don't post to the page?
Well, that's the thing. Like I think it's fake because you're not on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so I don't know why it would send that to you.
Well, I was just thinking like maybe we had some video from way back in the day on Facebook, on the TBTL page, not the Andrew Walsh page. It's definitely not my private page because that doesn't exist anymore. I thought maybe there's some
video. Who's the admin on that?
On the TBTL page?
Takamoto, get at us. What's going on? What are you posting over there, bro?
Oh, that's the Stens page. I think we have an official TBTL page
that's good.
Christina can...
Oh, that's perfect. Let's ask Christina when we get her on the show in a few minutes.
Exactly.
If she knows anything about this. This is... How far are we into... I'm not surrounded by clocks.
So we are exactly 15 minutes into the show
floating in
now.
Space, like the spiritualized record. Mm-hmm. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I know we need to call Christina, but I also need to follow up on this thing that I said during yesterday's show that I was going to ask you about.
The thing that you started by saying, I don't want to hurt your feelings.
No, no, I just don't want things to get tense.
Yeah, but which is, what is that? What does that mean?
I mean, we'll find out.
I know what it means.
We'll find out right after this break.
Things are tense.
All right, and we are back. This is normally the part of the show where we do top stories, but the top story that I want to talk about is what I can only assume is the near-death experience for our colleague and good friend Christina Lopez of American Public Media, who was... all I know about this story, Andrew, is you texted me and said, Christina got caught in an elevator. Mm-hmm. We should talk to her about it.
I don't know too much about it either. Christina posted a series of little videos.
Increasingly more panicked videos.
In her Instagram stories. People know how stories work. It occurred to me while I watched them and kind of clicked through them over the weekend, I do not know how long she was in the elevator. So I would recommend not asking that question until the very end of the interview. Because if this ends up being she was only in the elevator for 2 minutes.
Well, then it's a different kind of interview. It's about claustrophobia. And that's also something I want to talk about.
That's
so
right.
Let's, without further ado, bring Christina up on the line. Hi, Kiki. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Where were you and what happened with this elevator situation? And how long were you in there?
I hate you.
Please say 1 minute.
Do you want me to answer, the last question or should I just save it?
How about you save it?
Okay.
Yeah. Where was the elevator? Let's start there.
Okay, so the elevator was in the, it's between the garage and the first floor of the Studio City Ralphs.
This is relevant to Andrew's other podcast where his co-host thinks there's something deeply weird about grocery store elevators.
Do you agree with that? That any elevator you don't want to be trapped in, but especially a grocery store elevator?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, at least it wasn't a high-rise building. Maybe that's worse because the threat of like the elevator dropping several floors, where I was just worried about two floors maybe.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's a good point, actually. So you're in the elevator... Going to a Ralph's or leaving a Ralph's?
Going into the Ralph's.
Okay.
I'm just trying to buy some avocados.
Oh, really? God, what a millennial.
Yeah.
You're probably going to make toast and not get a mortgage. Okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's true because I rent and I have a roommate. So.
So you're going into the Ralph's to get avocados. And when did you realize something was amiss?
So as I was, I actually made it to the floor, and as I was like just about to hit that, you know, when it levels out, and it's a clear, so the both sides of the doors, because it's one of those that opens two different ways, both sides are glass. So I could see as I was coming up on the level, the lights in the supermarket going out row by row,
and then all of
a sudden the elevator,
oh.
And then the elevator kind of shook a little bit. And it stopped, and then it made it to the final little bit of it landing on the floor, but then the doors didn't open.
So you're witnessing the power go out in this Ralph's in Studio City cinematically coming towards the elevator, which now also doesn't have power.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Like, oh, my God.
Chunk.
Was there anybody in the elevator? Was there anybody in the elevator with you?
No, it was just me.
Thank God.
I know, honestly.
Like, not even, I mean, obviously, you know, physical safety is always a concern, but just the awkwardness. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be in there for a minute with someone else, it's just like nobody needs that.
And you don't know how long you're going to be in there. I'm going to say 85% of the times I'm on an elevator, I'm thinking, what do I do if this elevator gets stuck? I'm kind of obsessed with it. And the first thing I always think is, where will I pee? Mm-hmm. After several hours. And so when this thing stops, I don't know about you, Christina, but I might already be thinking, okay, where am I going to pee?
Yeah, which is the right corner for
I did have that moment where I was kind of like taking the temperature, like, okay, this is where my phone is at. Okay, and I really don't have to go to the bathroom, so I'm okay.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know?
Yeah. So what happens next?
Basically, I don't think people even noticed that I was in the elevator for a bit until I like was trying to shine my flashlight on my phone out to the world so that they could see that I was in there. And then people came over and, you know, one of the guys like tried to push the doors, but I wasn't really messing with anything in there because I was like, I don't know if I should be touching anything,
right?
You know. And then they told me they were calling the fire department, so I felt a little bit calm then. But wait, it definitely was like, what's happening?
Was the power still out in the Ralphs?
So the weird thing was that most of the power was out, but the only thing working were the registers. So they were still
capitalism.
Checking people. I was watching them.
What the hell?
Can't keep it down.
Truly. I was like, what, are the registers on generators, but the rest of the store isn't?
The security guard Segway scooters were all fully powered to stop would-be shoplifters, but nothing else worked.
Yeah, and they were checking people out in the dark.
Wow.
Now, Christina, can I mention something that you admitted in your Insta story about what you were thinking when you heard that the fire department might show up?
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe, and I will paraphrase and let you correct it, but you started thinking, well, maybe a strapping firefighter will come and rescue me, and then we will live happily ever after?
Yes, I was like, what if I meet my person this way? What if this is my, like, this is my wedding story?
What a meet cute.
Right?
Right?
So,
right? What a great story.
I know. I mean, I'm glad that you were able to keep your wits about you. In that situation.
I mean, I think I had to do it to keep me spinning out from, like, anxiety in general of, like, what's happening to me, but also, like, claustrophobia, which is a real thing.
Is that something that you're not a fan of? I mean, no one's, like, excited about being in a confined space, but would you say that you have a bit of claustrophobia?
I would say a little bit, and it's gotten worse since I've, like, not had to take the train as much. I think when you're in the New York City subway situation, you kind of just, like, are able to compartmentalize that a little bit better. But I think it also has to do with, like, I have an odd fear of being buried alive, and so some of that was me.
I have that same fear. I, for the longest
Isn't that
time,
weird?
Yes, I had a fear. It's subsided now, but that when I died, when they thought I was dead, they would bury me and I would realize I wasn't dead. But I also was afraid of being cremated, so I got to pick a lane on that one.
You know, I don't think I must have seen the full movie Interview with a Vampire at some point, but the only thing I remember about it, and Christina, have you seen that movie?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple times.
Tell me if I'm right. Is there a scene where there's a vampire who, of course, is immortal, and this vampire gets buried alive and may have to spend eternity buried alive because he will never die?
That's Brad Pitt's character.
That got in my head when I saw that movie. That's the only thing I remember about the movie. If anybody asks me, what is that movie about? I'll say it's about a guy who can't die but is buried alive for eternity.
Yeah, that was his punishment because they thought he made a child vampire, but it was actually Tom Cruise's character. Oh,
but then he escaped and got to go on that roof in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and make me feel very bad about my physical appearance. Good job.
Yet very good about the world in general.
Okay, so you're in the elevator. I guess sort of thankfully you can see through the door, so that probably that lets you know there are people there trying to help you. They're calling the fire department. Like, what happens next?
People are like periodically reassuring me that, like, they've called the fire department, they're on their way, am I okay? And, like, so it felt a little bit like, imagine, I'm in behind this glass case, so it kind of felt like I was, like, Hannibal Lecter, like, looking out at people.
You were like
a zoo animal.
Somebody try to sneak some Chianti and fava beans under the door. That's a Hannibal Lecter joke. I just wanted to let all the young people out there who don't know what I'm talking about understand what a sick joke that was. Okay, so how long did it take for them to actually get the door open?
You're asking me finally now how long I was in the elevator.
Yeah, this isn't a sign that the interview's over, but I am just curious.
So I was in there for about 30 minutes.
Dang.
Oh, okay.
That's not nothing.
That is not nothing. That's a real drama in real life. I was just worried that, like, oh, it turns out you were in there for about 90 seconds before they got that thing pried open. But no, a half hour.
I was in there for about the Yeah, my brother FaceTimed me during it.
Your brother's in New York?
Yeah.
Cute. I was actually going to ask you, like, how long did it take for you to go through the stages of being kind of like, oh, this is a little bit, you know, this is making me nervous and I don't know how this is going to end to this is so boring and forever taking and I'm going to check Twitter or Instagram.
I think I started checking Twitter and Instagram at like 10 minutes in when I was like, okay, well, you know, you go through self-talk of like trying to like keep your own anxiety down of like, okay, you can see people, they know you're there, you can talk to people, you know, it wasn't like I was stuck between floors, which would have been infinitely worse.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I wouldn't ask you this if you were still stuck in the elevator right now.
Although, what a killer get.
Yeah.
Christina, next time this happens, will you text us so we can do an interview live from the stuck elevator?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did your brain ever go to the place mine might, which is what if this causes this elevator to crash at some point? Because that's my biggest fear.
Yeah, definitely. I was like standing next to the wall just so I can like have something to grab onto in case it did just suddenly fall. But I also was like rationalizing that, well, it's not a big of a drop. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It was only maybe like two stories.
Still.
Right.
And I don't know what kind of damage that could do.
But it's.
But I know it wasn't. Yeah.
I'm sorry to talk over you, but I guess I know what you're both talking about, which is that fear of like, well, now that this thing is, the power's been off, is it going to reset improperly? Like when they turn it on or pry the door open, is it going to go into some, why on earth the defensive mode would be for it to fall to the ground? I don't
right.
know. But you just like, you just don't know, right? Were you going to do that thing where you jump when it hits the ground?
I don't even know if that's what you're supposed to do.
I
like,
don't
would
think
you just
are.
Lie on the ground of the elevator?
No,
like,
there's all these...
now I have to Google like how to survive.
No, there's all these MythBusters like episodes about that. Like it doesn't work, but I've always held that in my back pocket as my plan, either during an elevator drop or even a plane crash. I'm just going to jump at the very end.
Just hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, in prepping for this interview, a lot of people come up to me and they say, Andrew, how do you prep for interviews?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you.
I ask him that a lot. I've asked our boss to ask him that, too.
I believe that question was, why don't you prep for interviews, if I recall the actual letter that you sent up the chain. No, but I was trying to remember my high school physics and why, for example, if you hold a penny on your hand in a really fast elevator, it doesn't rise up. Or if you have a fly or a bee in your car while you're shooting down the highway at 65 miles an hour, why is that fly or bee not pressed to the back window? There's some sort of...
Yeah.
There's relativity or something involved, right?
Yeah. Me freelancing on this is just going to be a recipe for corrective emails. Uh-huh. But yeah, there is some principle. I mean, that's why the elevator thing doesn't work, because as the elevator is dropping, you are moving with the elevator. And even if you jump, you've not reversed the overall trajectory of your body.
Yeah.
You're still moving in this way that's relative to what the overall system, the elevator, is doing. Okay. So, Christina, how did they ever get the thing open?
This is so dumb, but it actually was because it was people pushing on both sides. So the fire department guys came and they're like, okay, push with me. And we pushed together and it just opened like magic, like nothing. And I was like, I could have done it sooner. But nobody knew, you know, you don't want to touch anything until the fire department gets there. You know what I mean?
I would never expect that people could actually push an elevator door open. This is probably like the third elevator call those firefighters had that day. Like, they know what's up, but none of us would, right?
Yeah, of course not.
This will probably never happen to you again. Or if so, that's a heck of a story. I feel like I've always assumed at some point I'll be stuck in an elevator, but I don't think it happens to most people more than once in their life.
Yeah, I would hope not. But if it does, I mean, I can at least say that I've been through it before and it's not that bad.
Yeah,
getting stuck in an elevator is to adults the way hot lava is to being a kid. You think about hot lava a lot. It's a big part of your calculation, and you probably are never going to encounter it. Same thing being a grown-up taking elevators everywhere, thinking, God, what would it be like? Again, to me, the social dynamic of being stuck in an elevator for a long time would be rough, depending on who I was in the elevator with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've taken elevators since then, and it has turned into like a little triggering.
Really?
Like, I'm like... Yeah, because I'm like, okay, what is the situation? Is there a phone in this one? Mm-hmm. Is it an emergency button? What do I push? Are there numbers for elevator operators here? Like, what is the worst case scenario that I'm trying to run? And I just, I did have one where it was like a jarring stop to the floor, and I kind of did scream out loud, but I was alone.
Oh my God.
Wow.
And this, I mean, we're talking to you on Wednesday afternoon. This just happened to you on Sunday, is that correct?
It was Saturday night.
Saturday.
It was my Saturday night.
Yeah. I mean, more importantly, did you get the avocados eventually, and was it delicious?
I ended up getting the avocados on Sunday, and I got them at Whole Foods because Whole Foods has escalators.
That's a perfect power out to the story. So you just like were like, I'm not even trying to shop at this point. You're like, I'm out.
Yeah.
So what's the name of the firefighter that you're marrying? How did that all work out? I just assumed it worked out.
Well, it was funny because there were other people stuck in other elevators in that Ralph. So I wasn't the only one, and I think there were people stuck between floors. So it was a very quick interaction because they're like, I was like, thank you, and they're like, cool, we have other people that we need to get to.
Wow,
bad timing. You finally get stuck in the elevator, and then it's like, I'm one of four elevators that are stuck right now.
Yeah. So I did not meet my person, sadly. I'm still in the search.
Just keep on breaking elevators. Just keep hitting that stop button. I have one more question for you that is not related to this topic, if you'll allow it. Will you at some point today go on the public-facing TBTL Facebook page, like the official one, not the Stens page, and just let us know if it's still operational? I got an email that I think is just a phishing email saying that we have some copyright content that's causing problems with a Facebook page. I don't really trust that, but, you know, just let us know if we still exist on Facebook. I don't think we're super worried about it if we don't, but, you know.
I will check on that for you.
So close to just clicking on the link because he's that curious. My theory is that it's phishing because he's not on Facebook. I'm not on Facebook. I just think it's a scam. Probably. Well, anyway, I was just on my way down here listening to The Daily, distributed by American Public Media, by the way. I always try to give some shout out to the brand. And they were talking about how basically the Russians are trying to get Bernie and Trump. Well, Bernie nominated and Trump elected. And so I was going to make some lame joke about this Facebook message that Andrew got being about that. But I think everyone needs a little break from politics. Did you, while you were in the elevator, was that a break from politics for you, Christina? Were you at least able to not think about the Democratic debate or whatever for that 30 minutes?
Yeah, it was a nice break from the cycle.
Good. Well, I'm glad that's a silver lining. Well, we're so glad that you survived. And good luck with your future elevator rides. May they be smooth sailing, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Christina.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, Luke, growing up, I was a huge fan of drama in real life in Reader's Digest. And I feel like we just got to do a drama in real life here on TVTL.
This is you're trolling me right now.
No, why? What?
Because I feel like I bore the listeners constantly with my love of drama in real life.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess we've talked about it. I don't remember that specifically, but I did. Well, you know that my grandma gave us a whole thing of, like, we had a whole box of old Reader's Digest from the 60s and 70s.
Those were the best.
And I remember getting to, because I read them as a very young kid, and I remember getting to an age where it was almost like realizing some certain truths about Santa Claus as an Easter Bunny is where I was like, wait a second. All of these have the details of the only person who was there. Obviously, they're going to survive every time. I remember having that realization and having a little bit of the wind taken out of my sails.
I think I must have had it didn't diminish my excitement, but I think I must have had a similar realization, which was like, well, I know they survived. I knew that much, but because I'm simple of mind, it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And I would just like,
I'd still read them.
Like I would, you know, they had tons of those in I probably like Mrs. Wharton's like third grade class or whatever at Bagley. And I would just go right to the drama in real life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then I would work my way back. I'd mess with humor and uniform. I'd mess with life in these United States.
I think I went with jokes first.
Well, that's what those are. Oh, wait.
I think I'd go jokes first, then probably drama in real life. Then I'd go back to the jokes that were scattered about. Do you remember that? You had the joke sections, but then they would have just like a little joke here and there at the end of a story just to fill space. And I would then go like kind of looking for those.
I'm right now wondering if our friendship is a joke, Andrew, because this is a thing that I've been wanting to talk to you since yesterday's show.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to talk to Christina, so here we are. Yeah. I had the weirdest experience right before we started yesterday's episode, which was an email was going around, and it was from our friend Camaro Kev. So Camaro Kev...
It was a text, I believe.
Yeah, okay, a text. But You're not going to get off the hook that easy.
I didn't. That's wait, so to... I'm in trouble here. I thought you just wanted to explore something. And
okay, you're right.
My
you're right.
guess was
you're
this
right.
had to do with my relationship with Genevieve. This is about my relationship with you.
And our friend group.
I'm not prepared for
and
this.
Our friend
I'm not
group.
Prepared for this. I thought, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so this text went around. Basically, let's go back a couple weeks. So Kamara Kev sends out a text to our friend group, at least a section of our friend group who we thought might be up for it. Mm-hmm. And it was, Diamond David Lee Roth is playing a residency in Las Vegas.
It's a true story.
And Anita and I are probably going to try to go down. And if anybody wants to come, you know, come on by. And I saw that a text and I thought, that sounds kind of fun and weird. But, you know, I'm traveling too much for work as it is. And I'm probably not going to rally for that. And then I also remembered that I have been sort of, I've bailed on a couple of things like that. I was actually, I forget. There's been a, Kamara Kev's been going to Vegas a lot recently. I think he went with Anita for some other show. I think it might have been Helmet.
No, that sounds right.
And then before that, he went for a locksmithing convention with Dykstra,
I remember
owner
that.
Of the post office, even though they
that.
Never went to the convention. And Dykstra's walking around with a half of his debit card because he had snapped it in half because he didn't want to use it anymore for gambling. But then he figured out how to use what was left of it to, like, he could get cash out at, like, a Walgreens. Anyway.
Like a locksmith would.
So I have missed a few of these capers. And I reconsidered and I thought, you know what? Let's go hang with the friends. And so I sort of assumed this was just going to be, like, Anita and Kevin and then weird third wheel burbs.
Mm-hmm. Old third wheel burbs.
Yep. And so
it's such a mean song when you think about it.
I know it is, but that's why I wrote it, because I hate myself. So all of which is to say, this text goes around where it's just Kamara Kev just texting this some ridiculous gif of David Lee Roth, like walking past a bottle of Macallan Scotch or something. I mean, the beauty of these kinds of trips is that it's just an excuse to send out pictures and videos of David Lee Roth. So I see this picture of David Lee Roth and I think, well, that's funny. And I'm going to be there with those with you know, Kevin and Anita in a few weeks or whatever. And then next thing I see, Genevieve says, got my tickets all bought.
Mm-hmm.
And then our friend Katie Beck checks in, got my tickets all bought.
And, sort of.
Well, one way. She's got the flight down.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Right.
Figure out your life.
she can live there.
Figure out your life on the way home, Katie Beck. So anyway, I realize that this is turning into a thing. And I also realize that clearly you and Genevieve had a conversation about this and it was decided you're not coming to Vegas. And my question to you is, somehow when it was like, when if it was just going to be me and Kevin and Anita, that was one kind of thing. But to hear that you were presented with the option of coming to see Diamond Dave with us and you said, no, gracias, that is, I wouldn't say surprising to me, but it just means this whole other conversation than I would have imagined was unfolding without me even knowing about it.
A conversation with Genevieve and me, you mean?
Yes, but by extension, me, your friend, who will be in Vegas missing you.
Do you want to know the amazing thing of this story? That
you were stuck in an elevator when you guys talked about
yes.
this.
Yes. That is, I actually am embarrassed about this.
Oh, well, I'm not trying
bit.
To
no,
get
no, no,
you
no, no,
into
no. What I'm about to say I'm okay. a little embarrassed about, which is, we didn't talk about it. Genevieve just knew. Because here's the deal.
Oh, damn.
No, I mean, it's not like, it's not bad. That I say I'm embarrassed because Genevieve has just completely, I think, given up on trying to get me to have fun with people. I think I have gotten more and more reclusive, and I just love spending time at home and on my own, and, you know, on my own time in one way or another. And what's happening is, the weekend before, originally we were told when the text message went out originally that it was going to be happening on, I believe, the prior weekend.
And you guys are going to be already traveling, right?
And I wrote in, we're going to be traveling.
Oh, right.
And then a text came back that said, actually, it's the following weekend.
Because it was going to be too expensive because it was coinciding with March Madness.
Oh, that, I thought he just had the date wrong for that. Is he doing a double weekend?
It's a residency, so he's there for like a month or something.
Maybe I'll go the following weekend without you guys. It's really just, I just don't like
you. I swear to God, you would do that just to spite me.
No, this is actually interesting, though. We'll get to the real stuff in a second. But the truth is, you know, Genevieve and I had been talking about the weekend prior. It's a really quick travel. We're going to go visit her brother in San Francisco, and I'm looking forward to it. But it's going to be a pretty kind of, for me, and I won't say that, for me, kind of intense travel schedule. Our flight down there is at 6 a.m. in the morning, which means getting up at, like, you know, 3:30.
That's rough.
And then getting back on Sunday around, I think we're landing around 10 p.m. or something on Sunday. And you know me, I'm a guy who always has buffer days built in. So I think that weekend, I mean, it's going to be a fun weekend in San Francisco, but, you know, it's circled on my calendar as a day that I'm going to have to be doing some traveling. And so for me to probably turn around and then go down to what I assume is like a very kind of action-packed weekend. I've never spent a weekend in Vegas before. And
well, we're not kids anymore, so it's certainly, I mean, hopefully is not, you know, like when we were in our 20s. That was borderline reckless, but...
And the fact that this is a residency actually makes it sound different. Like, I couldn't picture in my head even what the show would be like, and like just being being jostled, and it probably starts at 11 o'clock.
Oh,
and I'll be tired.
I mean, David Lee Roth is, I think, 70. It'll probably start at 4 p.m.
Maybe. In my head, I just kind of like, that just sounds like a lot of sensory input, especially if I was going to be doing two like quick turnaround weekend trips in a row. So that's what's going through my head. But I think Genevieve just knew all of that. And again, I say I'm embarrassed about it because she didn't ask me not out of malice, but I think just knowing
your
that
brand
I'm a
is
loser,
so strong within the relationship legit, that she knew. Like, can I ask you this? And again, you
and I feel legit guilt about that, by the way, as far as my relationship with Genevieve, because I should be more game to do things. I'm not that old.
But it's a given that had she asked you, had she said, oh, get the date moved and we can actually go and I'm thinking of going, would it be pretty much a given that you would say, I'll pass on that just because of the proximity to the previous weekend travel and stuff?
That's how the conversation went down to the degree that we had one. She didn't ask me, do you want to go? She just kind of said, well, you know, I'm really thinking about going on this weekend. I was like, yeah, let me know.
how that goes.
Or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I ever said, yeah, I don't think I will. I think it was kind of implied that I probably wouldn't.
Uh-huh.
And again, I mean, I do feel bad. Like, you mentioned that you haven't seen Kevin in a while, or something, that you missed out on a bunch of these things. And, like, Kevin lives, like, very close to me. You live up in Bellingham, and I haven't seen him and Anita in a while. And I feel bad about that and how you guys must think of me as kind of a bit of a jerk. I think that you know me.
I didn't before
you
I found out
well
that you were skipping Vegas.
You know me well enough to know that, like, I am somewhat reclusive, and it is not a reflection of how I feel about people. But it's really hard to keep that up, especially with all of your friends all the time. So
Okay. And you know what? I get to that like back-to-back weekend travel is a thing. Also, I think, and I don't want to overpromise, but if I'm remembering the calendar right, we also have some TBTL doings in the week that's at least as of right now coming after the Vegas weekend. So I'm just going to lean on you heavily for that, since you'll be home. Just getting ready in the dojo of podcasting, getting ready for the following week.
Actually,
and I'll be listening to David Lee Roth sing, oh, God. I mean, I don't know. Does he have the rights to I mean, I guess he wrote a lot of the music in Van Halen, at least the vocals. So he's got the rights to that, right?
I mean, almost said Can't Try 55, but that would be a sin.
That's the Red Rocker.
That's Hagar.
That's Van Hagar, my friend. A whole different – that's a right now era of Van Halen.
Yes, Crystal Pepsi.
But – I will just say this. I am not quite sure what to expect from the show. And, like, if I'm being totally honest, like, speaking of people saying to us in our life, knowing us, when I said, yeah, I think I'll actually come by, Kamarokev said, you are under no obligation to go to the concert. Because he knows, like, I appreciate how much Kevin appreciates David Lee Roth and Van Halen. I don't really need to see like 2 hours of David Lee Roth. But so I was considering not going, but then I was like, what am I going to fly to Vegas and then not go with my friends to this thing? That's the thing they're going to. Like, how bad could it be? And it'll probably be fun and weird. Yeah. And so I am going, but I do not know what to expect.
Yeah, it'll probably be. Here's the thing about me. And again, I don't know if the word is social anxiety. I mean, that's definitely part of it. But like, remember, what was it, a year and a half ago, Jay-Z was coming to town and Sean had won tickets to Tori, Japan's number one mixer, had won tickets, but then he ended up not being able to go. He gave the tickets to our friend Ron, who invited me to go along with him. And I said yes, because I, you know, like, yeah, why not? Except my brain came up with a million reasons why not. Yeah. I was so anxious. I had not been to an arena rock show, or an arena rap show in this case, since the 90s, and I kind of swore them off because I didn't really like the experience of
low,
a big show.
I would
like
say
that.
Low bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. Even if it's free, it's just like the payoff for all the standing around and line waiting is not, in my experience, usually worth it.
And this was it, for people who know Seattle, this was at Key Arena. And you know, I guess I probably took a bus down there and then walked the rest of the way. And it's that last mile problem, Luke, I'll tell you. And as I'm walking there, I'm just like in my head so much about like going through security and waiting in line, and my legs are going to be tired by the time the headliner starts. His name is Jay-Z. He's a rapper. And just like in my head, this was going to be such an ordeal, such an ordeal. And it was so easy. I walked through security. Yeah. Lines weren't that bad. I probably got some popcorn. We had some tickets up in the balcony. There were plenty of empty seats around us. I always assume that I'm just going to be jostled and manhandled the whole time.
Which, knowing you, is pretty much your worst nightmare, because when you're standing around in a public place, or if we're in the airport together, it's really important to you that you're not impeding other people in their personal space or bumping into them. Yeah. Like, I almost sometimes, again, I don't want to make a joke out of it, but I could see you, it hasn't happened, but I could see you getting caught in a whirling dervish loop where you're bumping into someone and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, and then turning around and bumping into someone else and being like, I'm so sorry. You could get trapped in a loop like that.
By the time that would happen, I actually think that I'd be more peevish myself, because I don't like being jostled either.
Right.
And so I think in this case, I would be the jostlee probably, and then I'd probably start to get pretty irritated. And Christina was talking about being in an elevator and not loving confined spaces, and I definitely am not a lover of confined spaces either. So anyway, that was – but in my head, I'm walking there just thinking, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I'm going to the belly of the beast here to see a rap show on a weeknight at the Key Arena. It was a totally pleasant time. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
Ron left before me, as Ron always
does. That sounds about right.
Ron, the whole
time – didn't wait to see the ninth inning of Jay-Z's performance.
I hate to make fun of Ron, but Ron said a bunch of times, like, he really just wanted to hear
Hova?
No, what's the New York State of Mind?
Oh.
Or is that what it's called? Or that's the
Is it a co-production of him and Alicia Keys?
Yeah.
Empire State of Mind?
Empire State of Mind. Yeah, I knew I had it slightly wrong, because New York State of Mind is Sinatra, I think.
But I believe.
Empire State of Mind.
It's an allusion to it, so you're not way off.
So we're there. This is so rude of me to call him out, but it was kind of funny. Like, he mentioned several times that he doesn't know that much by Jay-Z, and that's just what he really wanted to hear. And then we're kind of getting near the end of the show. It's kind of clear that things are kind of getting to sort of a climax in the show.
I know.
And,
Ron yells, play Empire State of Mind. And Jay-Z's like, huh? Okay.
Yeah,
and they go into it.
Exactly. And then Ron goes up on stage.
Dude,
this is amazing.
Epic trolling, epic reveal.
Amazing,
you
amazing.
Will not believe
Jay
what this real estate agent did when he was brought on stage.
Jay reaches out. From my perspective, a light is shining from behind him, so he looks angelic.
Amazing.
As he reaches out and grabs Ron's hand and pulls him up on the stage. No, Ron turns to me. So Jay-Z is, like, I believe, two songs into an obvious three-song trilogy about New York. To me, it is so obvious that the next song is going to be New York State of Mind. And that's when Ron turns to me and says, I think I'm going to take off now. And I said, Ron, I think they're queuing up your song as we speak. And I was right. Like, you could just see the signs there. I later found out that Ron said to Genevieve, boy, Andrew knows a lot more Jay-Z than I thought. And I guess I know more Jay-Z than I thought, too, because he played stuff off of the Kanye record.
Watch
the Throne. He played a bunch of stuff off of a lot of records I knew. And I actually had a lot of Jay-Z records back in the day.
Yeah,
so,
man. If he does anything off the Black Album, I'm psyched.
Yeah, right?
So did Ron stay for Empire State of Mind?
He did stay for Empire State of Mind. I think that, like, and I could be wrong, but
did he stay for the Empire Carpets jingle?
800-533-6800 Empire.
That would
good
be
at remembering
a
the number.
Sick. I just made those numbers up. That would be a sick cross promotion if Jay-Z brought that cartoon, like Shaq and the General. If Jay-Z brought out the Empire Carpet guy,
somebody needs to make that mashup.
It's probably already on the internet.
I mean, a TBTL listener. After they find out what the egg game is in the comments.
I know. A lot of work for them today.
I do think I impressed Ron, though, with my knowledge that the song was being teed up.
Well, that's good. And I think that the takeaway from that, well, first of all, just since we've been giving a little bit of good-natured ribbing to our friend Ron, let's also say a thing about him that I really admire is that he does a lot of stuff.
Yes,
because
true,
he doesn't have, and I have my own version of it. I don't think I'm socially anxious, but I just think things are going to be annoying. And so I don't do things. And then anytime I'm doing something, I think, this is fun. Why don't I do things?
Right. Yeah.
And like people like Ron and our friend Rachel Bell and,
and Genevieve.
Your beloved Genevieve. Yeah. And Anita and to some degree Kevin. In fact, I'll put Kevin on that list. Like, they're always doing something. Like, yeah, we went to the Maroon 5 show. Really? Oh, yeah, Anita got tickets or whatever. We went. It's like
I went to see a cover band last weekend up at, like, Mukilteo or something last minute because Dykstra wanted to go see a cover band of some old grunge group. I can't remember who it was, and I was like...
Well, that actually does sound kind of fun. It's probably Tulalip, and it was probably...
Oh, yeah, probably Tulalip, yeah.
Or Muckleshoot or whatever.
Is Muckleshoot South? I get them confused.
Yeah, but anyway.
But at like last minute, he's just kind of like, well, who's down for this? And Genevieve was even tempted. I'm just like,
now,
no,
let me mention, I was not even on the list for that. I was not on that text.
Well, that was very last minute, though. That was like happening in the moment. He was like, I'm giving in. I'm doing this thing. And I think that's a good friendship move. That's the thing about Kamara Kev. Also, not just does things, but good friend.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Rallies.
I don't think that like
he will rally.
Yes, exactly.
We'll go to the Pinehurst pub and do a hawk bomb in the middle of a Seahawk game if we start texting him because of the fact that it needs to happen.
That's right. Absolutely. So anyway, I feel bad. I should actually send a text to him too and just say, hey, sorry, I'm bailing on that. I hope you're not insulted.
Yeah. And also I'll accept an apology from you too.
Okay. I'll work on that. Get something drafted here. All right, I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
There's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll. You can just listen to your soul.
Comes in smooth, doesn't it, when you're here in person?
Oh, it's so great. I love it. I'm hearing this in exactly the same time stream that you're hearing, and I could even sing if I wanted to, but I won't.
Life is much fun. You can be number one.
Live it up, Burbank.
Yeah, it's nice. This is what it's like to be you, just able to sing along with the sweet Heidecker bass jam.
That's right. Do you want to scat? I can give you a little scatting room. Just let me know.
Could you please? Thank you. Yeah, I've got some thoughts.
Scatman's World.
Oh, I'm getting emails from Lloyd. Lloyd is somebody who always emails when the show is not up on the webpage.
Ah, geez. Okay.
Man. Did you see me, by the way, just while you were talking a minute ago? Did you see me writing a code down off of my
phone? In other words...
Do you know what I was just doing? I was VPNing in front of you, my friend.
Man.
I just VPNed in.
You just dragged our friend Ron and VPNed in.
I did.
Your brain is a magical thing that you're doing all of that. Okay, let's get through these. I don't mean get through these. But let's enjoy these blurs. Thursday messages, and then end this show so you can quickly figure out why no one's heard yesterday's show yet.
Boom. Published. It's done.
Ooh.
In that sentence that you said that, it was there. The only thing is I really want to let Lloyd know, but he'll just have to sit and chill for a second.
I'll text him through MySpace.
See if he sent you that email as well, although I think he probably just sends it to me at this point. Can we reset here? Focus. That's right. I was scatting. I was getting into it. I was feeling it. Yep. Annie says, I'd like to wish my wonderful cousin Leah of Haller Lake Christian Preschool.
What?
And
Leah? Haller Lake, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry.
Also, how would you know that?
Pacific Northwest Ballet Mousecapades fame.
Mm-hmm. My very good friend, who I went to preschool with and then who now works for PNB and did help orchestrate me getting to dance like a mouse in the PNB, Leah.
This is Leah. Happy Blurzay, Leah, from Annie. It's funny how multiple cousins independently became tens. Love you, Leah.
I love Leah, too. Happy birthday, Leah.
Emily in Minnesota. Nah, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. This is Emily. This is our knitting friend, Emily.
Who's that?
Emily shows up for almost all of the Minnesota-based events that we do. She's often knitting.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I'm pretty sure this is her. Emily says, I'd like to wish a belated Blurs Day to my fellow Minnesotans, Colleen and Leslie. We know them as well.
Yeah, sure.
Says, I've met them both at a few Twin Cities TBTL events, and this year found out that they both share my birthday.
What?
So, happy Blurs Day to all three of you, including Emily and Colleen and Leslie.
What a world. Is it, you think it's my mom and sister's birthday? It probably doesn't say specifically what it is. Because my mom and sister have a birthday that was this week on the same day.
It could be. You know, I usually people tend to put in the actual dates and I can sort of scratch it for time. I think the emotion and sentiment is more important than the actual date.
But could you send me those dates? Because I might use it to VPN into their bank accounts.
Yeah, I could
get some kind of vital data on that.
Emily, what's your mother's maiden name?
Yeah.
I did want to say this about Emily, Colleen, and Leslie. They seem like a real...
I already don't like where this is going.
Tight-knit crew.
Oh, no.
Just blast that music.
Yeah.
All right, Joel in New York.
I don't know. It's, Minnesota or something.
Joel in New York City says, my wife Marie is turning 33 on Thursday.
Hey, nice.
Which I understand creates a special opportunity for celebration on your program. She is surely among the leading 10 of fans of your show, although I have firsthand knowledge that she has not made it to the end of every single episode. Because on numerous occasions over the past 1,500 episodes or so, I have been the one to root out her phone on the weeknight in the darkness
to turn it
off after she's somehow fallen asleep before hearing the last dazzling detail of the day.
Oh, Joel, I am so sorry, dude. That's love, my friend.
That is.
Digging out the phone that is playing TBTL from somewhere beneath the covers.
Probably still glowing, and you just hear the just tinny sound of two guys blathering on about
making ice. Get her the Calm app. That's a real birthday present.
Yes, but still have her download the show,
please. Oh, please, actually, or build a bot if you know how to do that. Also, being in the same room for these, it's kind of fun, but I like to sometimes go to the bathroom and then come back, which I can do when I'm at my house. And here I'm just trapped actually listening to the whole segment.
Are you starting to have different feelings about
the segment? Starting to understand some of that pushback on the thing.
As you said, we did get some nice encouraging
words.
Yeah,
we actually really did.
This week. I didn't include them because this is already a very long Blurs Day segment. We're just getting started.
Really?
Here. Oh, yeah, for real. This is a really long one. This might be our longest Blurs Day segment ever.
Well, that's probably saying something.
Oh, I see. But you have to get out of here, huh?
I do.
Okay, so let me move on. I'm sorry. Jennifer sends this Blurs Day message to Dan. To the love of my life and one of the kindest, most caring humans out there, happy Blurs Day and welcome to your 40s. Now, I want to tell you a little secret about Jennifer as well. Jennifer emailed me and said, hey, can I gather about 15 to 20 friends and family members of Dan and have them all send in messages? And I said, that's a long Blurs Day segment. No, please don't do that. But I will read any message you want to say to him. And so I just want Dan to know that there were a lot of loving individuals who love you very much who wanted to participate in this Blurs Day on air.
Yes, you are loved by many more people than we have time to list here.
Kendall in the Sunnyland neighborhood of Bellingham at the base of Alabama Hill.
Yeah.
Says, today is my 40th Blurs Day. When I turned 21, I was getting ready in the morning and I was listening to Morning Edition, waiting to hear whose birthday Bob Edwards would shout out at the top of the hour news. And that day was Chelsea Clinton, who is my exact same age.
Wow.
It was the closest I ever felt like I would get to having my birthday announced on the radio till now.
Aww. Happy Blurs Day. over there in Sunnyland. That's an awesome neighborhood. I love that hood.
Now, I want to say, this came in from Rich, who says, my wife, Kendall,
oh, I see.
Has to be your biggest fan in Bellingham. Okay. You would make her day, week, year, decade if you wished her a happy 40th. Thanks for making her laugh so much. It's one of the best sounds in the world.
Aww. So much love in the air with this audience. These are That's good people. Saying. You know what, Andrew? These are good eggs.
Oh.
These listeners. But also, could somebody figure out what the hell that comic was that I was reading as a kid, or did I imagine it?
Exactly.
Oh, that one I'll allow. By the way,
I think that's what got us here.
Somebody sent in an intentionally anonymous email saying, I fail to see how any part of this curing global loneliness community can take issue with the Blurs days. I'm rapt throughout the segment every week, knowing full well that 51 weeks out of the year, I will hear no names I recognize. And 1 week, I do hear such a name. It belongs to my wife, who is a 10. Keep up Blurs days forever, or at least until my TBTL progenitor, thank you, anonymous listener, has a chance to put my name in. So I don't know if the wife in question can figure out who sent this, but this is somebody saying, I'm never even in the Blurs days, but I still like the Blurs days.
That's right.
What percentage of this week's Blurs days have we actually gotten through, give or take?
Half.
Jeez, okay.
Almost half.
Pedal to the metal.
A little bit more than half. Kristen says, I want to send a shout out to my 5, Henry. He turns 9 today. Thanks for letting me listen to TBTL when I pick you up from school, Henry. Henry is the smartest, sweetest kid you'll ever meet, and I'm proud to be his mom. And aww. I said it in that funny voice because when I read this earlier today, I got choked up, and
that's
I didn't want it to happen
really
on the air.
Sweet. Whatever you need to do to get through the show, Andrew.
I'm proud to be his mom. I had to say it like that, otherwise I'd be bawling.
I flex my core when I'm trying to be not. It's a new thing I learned at Pacific Fitness Northwest.
Would you allow me to read a Blurs Day from Alan in California?
I'll allow it.
New 10 here.
Hey.
Been listening to the podcast for about 10 weeks now after stumbling across TBTL on the podcast dial mid-December. I'd like to wish my friend Steph, okay, from Sacramento, a happy belated Blurs Day, and wish that her 2020 be full of derpy doggos.
Oh, that's cute. Also, does Step listen to the show, presumably?
I'm assuming, yeah.
At least this episode.
Remember Bruce and Lake Stevens, now Bruce and
rings a bell.
Athens?
In Alabama, I believe.
Athens, Alabama. Well, this is from Andrew, who says, my dad, Bruce, will be 55 aww years old tomorrow.
Wait a darn minute.
So this is Andrew, who is, I believe, his voice as a very, very young child was on TBTL. Am I
many
right about
times
that?
And yes. I believe his brother is the prom baby.
Mm.
Was we are led to believe.
Sister or brother?
Brother
okay.
Conceived after the TBTL prom all those years ago. I mean, the Bruce and Lake Stevens' family, they're TBTL royalty.
That's
and it's
right.
His birthday?
And this is from Andrew.
Aww,
little Andrew says,
so
my dad
sweet.
Bruce will be 55 years old tomorrow. He's been listening for a long time, and he's great at being a father. He made me a Sten at the age of 10.
Aw, Andrew.
Hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Now I have to flex my core to not get emotional.
Yeah, right? Chad in Minneapolis would like to wish a happy 50th Blurs Day to his 11, Amy. Amy is my best friend, smart, funny, brave, and kids, cover your ears.
Uh-oh.
Hot. She also contributed $50 to TBTL last month to get my Blurs Day on the imaginary radio because she likes TBTL but doesn't necessarily get it.
That's actually
don't kill Blurs Days.
It's the best way to experience the show. Donate on behalf of someone you love and then just walk away.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, she also filled out a 10 of the week for Chad, which unfortunately we can't air because we have a policy of not. We can't do 10 of the weeks in the newsletter unless the person submitted it themselves.
That's a thing.
It's happened a couple of times. I talked to Christina about it, and say, you get in some gray area about publishing photographs
yeah.
of other people, et cetera. And so we got to stick with that. But
I'm just saying for $100, you could probably overlook that policy.
Money talked. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted Chad to know just how much Amy does love him, and Chad loves Amy, and
I love
happy
money.
Blurs Day. Okay, one more, Luke.
Okay.
What if I just let this swell forever till you miss your plane? Sorry, Jessamine says, I'd like to send a Blurs Day message to my co-bro Samantha Jalapena.
Heck
it's
yeah.
It's your super soft birthday. Mm-hmm. Power out.
Nice.
Look what happened.
Is that the end of the music?
The music just ended there.
Dude, this is a thing on TikTok.
What?
Where they're like, somebody will like spin a fidget spinner, and then they have to poke it with a pencil that happens to go right through where the like, holes on the outside are. Then they have to do something else that's very unlikely, and then they run into a room. This is all in one shot on their camera. They run into another room, and that's when the DVD screensaver page
you told me about
is
this.
It's going into the corner. We just had a version of that.
That was
we played
something.
All of those blurs days, talked about all those messages. I even wedged in an email,
mm-hmm.
and it hit exactly at the end of the music. That's just perfection right that there. And it's special. Rare that we achieve that. But we just did, so enjoy it, everybody. I think that's going to have to do it for the show. I'm getting an alert from the airline that my trip is leaving on time.
Okay.
Meaning I should probably go. But thanks for listening, everybody. We're going to be back here tomorrow with more imaginary radio for you. So please do join us for that. Until then, enjoy your Wednesday. Go Mariners. Go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.